Lord, help us as we understand and unpack your word. Help us, we pray. Amen. I was thinking as we were watching that DVD of how much God gave to establish and build his church. Jesus, in fact, is the seed that was planted. In fact, he himself refers to it as this. Why don't you turn back with me in John chapter 12 to where Jesus says in John 12, 23, which is page number, maybe you'll get there before I will, 1080. John chapter 12, verse 23, where Jesus says this, just again, maybe a day or two before that moment we were watching on the screen. Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." Talking about his death there. The Son of Man is his reference to himself. And he says in verse 24, "I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds." That was what he was going to do. He was going to die, and something wonderful was going to come of it. And then he actually challenges us. He says, the man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant will also be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Jesus, as he looks to the cross, encouraging us to go that route as well, the route of a crucified life. So I'm thinking about this business of Jesus being like the seed that's sown to grow his church. And as I was thinking about this passage and growth, and the title we had is A Church That Is Growing, Not Static. And I was thinking, growing things. Have I got anything that grows? And some of you know we haven't got a garden, but recently we've been advancing from little potted plants to Adam and Rosie gave us a banana tree. Now, I'm very excited about the banana tree. Now, it looks a bit bedraggled. Don't worry, Adam, I am looking after it a bit better, but we haven't given it water the last few days. And it's good because actually it's easier to move around without that. But it's not pouring water everywhere. But look at my banana tree, and you'll notice that it doesn't look like it's doing much at the moment. But it's growing. It's growing. And I just came back from holiday, and I got very excited because it was growing even more than I realized. And I was away for about just over a week, and another one of these, this is a leaf here that slowly unravels. It's just amazing to watch. And you can see this kind of leaf a few weeks ago kind of itself kind of unraveled and became a leaf, and this one's now, and underneath that there'll be another one. It's amazing to watch this thing grow. And you know, God's wired up our world so that banana trees grow from seeds. That, you know, these don't because they're fake, by the way. But, you know, things outside all around, they grow. And even children, don't they? You watch them, they grow. It's amazing. God's wired it up like this. And I was thinking if I could find anywhere in Scripture that talks about banana trees growing. Anyone know any references to it? I couldn't think of any. So you can search if you want to. But then I was thinking, but I know so many that talk about the church growing. That talk about God's love and care for the church. And I thought, if that banana tree grows, then how much more the church of Jesus Christ, that he didn't just plant with a seed, he gave his own son to plant and establish. How much more does God care and nourish and grow that, as we see him doing here in Acts chapter 2. So I was thinking about my banana plant and thinking, you know, I'm not a great, I do try and look after it, Adam, but I'm not a brilliant kind of gardener. But even I can do stuff with it that doesn't stop it growing. It does, you know, you just give it some water and put it near a window and it just grows. And God's church, the church of Jesus Christ, grows and is growing all the way around the world, even as we speak. We were praying earlier and I was rejoicing because I am confident that this day, over 3,000 people have been added to the church of God. We often read Acts chapter 2, don't we, back in verse 41. of Acts chapter 2, where it says, those who accepted his message were baptized, and 3,000 were added to their number that day. And we thought, wow, those were giddy days for the church. But I tell you what, now you think about all the different churches across the nations, what God's doing in China and Seoul and Argentina and Nigeria and Kenya and all the different places. And you imagine what God's been doing this day in touching and transforming lives. And I, as you can tell, just get excited to think that God is doing and growing and establishing his kingdom. So I want us to do two things today, tonight. I want us to see what can we learn about growth and how God grows his church from this verse. But here's a little thing that will help us. I want us to think, what can we learn about growth from the banana tree as well? Because I think this will help us as we unpack this verse as well. So here's the first thing I want us to learn, really straightforward, as we just go through some points here. The first is that growth is the work of the Lord. Can you say that with me? Growth. Amen. It's not me who's getting this plant to grow. I don't know fully how it all happens. I water it. I don't even plant it. I just water it and kind of do a few things. It's God who grows it. God who grows the banana tree. Look down at verse 47. Who is it who grows the church? And the Lord added. And the Lord added. It's the Lord who adds to his church. It's the Lord who's ultimately the one who grows and expands his church. He's the one who's committed to do it. He's the one who gets the glory when it happens. He's the one who ensures that it does. And in this day and age where people love celebrities and personalities, we've got to remember that the results department is God's department. He's the one who does the growing. He's the one who makes it happen. And in fact, even early on, churches got into a bit of a pickle about this. So if you turn to 1 Corinthians, I think, is it on the screen, Maria? There we go, 1 Corinthians 3, 6 and 7. This is Paul writing to the church in Corinth, who got into a bit into, well, I follow Paul, I follow Apollos, they're the great ones. And he just said, look, I planted the seed, Paul said, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. So neither he who plants or he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. That's what God does. He makes things grow, and he's making his church grow in a wonderful way. So that puts a smile on my face. We were talking about gladness this morning. I think God grows the church. But here's the thing. If he grows the church, if that's the way he's wired up, that gets me excited about planting and watering. Because though God's part is to grow it, who did the planting and the watering? Paul and Apollos. And you and I have the privilege of planting and watering things that if we plant and water in God's name and as he leads us, he will bring the growth. So I want to ask you, I know God does the growing, but I want to ask you, how are you doing on the planting? How are you doing on the watering? You might think, well, what are those kind of things? Well, I think planting is things like actually helping someone see and understand the gospel, kind of maybe just in a seed, in a moment, you sow something into their lives. Maybe it's you even share a verse that you've been learning with them. I heard the story of a guy who was blind, who sits on the London Underground, and he pulls out his verses that he's trying to learn, and he sees who's next to him, and he says, I'm trying to learn these verses, can you help me remember them? And this blind guy has non-Christians read out to him his verses that he's trying to learn. And he's sowing seed. That's what he's doing. He's planting. Now, we're all called to be planters, those who look for opportunities where we can sow seed into people's lives. You know, one of the people who I keep getting inspired by in this regard is Philip. He's someone who just is often, when he's out and about, just looking for those chances to sow seeds, and he takes them. And in fact, I was saying to the time team, I think they should be getting more time out with like Philip and Tim doing this kind of stuff. And I just asked whether Philip could come and just share a couple of stories from some of what they've been doing in George Street. So, Phil, let's encourage Phil and just thank the Lord for this, brother.
It's all about Jesus, isn't it? And it's lovely to be able to be part of a team that goes out regularly now in George Street. By the way, between 12 and 2 on a Thursday, if you're free, and you can walk down George Street, come and encourage us and even join the team. What we've been doing is initially we went out just to give literature. We've since been out and we have Tim and Anna singing, and we've also gotten on to the idea of actually offering people a drink. just simply some fruit juice and water and what have you. And that literally went down a treat. You know, people have stopped and they've talked to us, and we've come across all kinds of people. Every one of us, I believe, have had significant conversations with folks as we've been there week by week. And it varied from just getting the details of who you are, where we meet, to two people going as far as making commitments on the street. One of these people is a Chinese girl called Ying, who came across, offered her a drink, and she asked what we were doing and mentioned that we were Christians, and we introduced people to God. I asked, do you believe in God? She says, well, in my country, we don't actually believe in God. I said, what about you? She says, well, actually, I don't, but when things go bad, I think God is punishing me. I thought, well, you do believe in God then, obviously. How would you like God to be a friend? Someone who loves you and knows you and cares for you. And she ended up making a commitment. Now, I believe the phrase being saved is very important here, because these are people who actually are being saved. And I believe Ying is someone who's being saved. It's in the process of that salvation. Another lady called Maureen we came across, and happened to find out that she actually lives in the same street as Debbie Collins. And Debbie has been able to connect with her. Again, this is a lady I believe is being saved. So I do believe God is adding to us, those who are being saved.
Hello, thanks. Praise the Lord. Hey, should we just praise the Lord this time as we go? Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. So back in Acts chapter 2, it's the Lord who adds to their number. The Lord is growing his church. He's growing his church around the world, but he's growing his church here as well. And he does it one by one, individual at a time, as we plant seeds, as we water them. And I'd encourage you, maybe actually you hear that and you think, oh yeah, I remember talking to that person, but I haven't spoken to them in a few weeks or months or even years. You know, part of the way I think we water the plants and the seeds we sow is just getting in contact with people, seeing how they're doing, praying for them, drawing alongside them, saying, do you want to meet up and come to church with me? Do you want to come along to my small group? Water the seeds that you know have been sown around you. But do it with the confidence, and this is the point, that growth is the work of the Lord. Our call is to be obedient, to do our part, and the results department, that's his department, but he is growing and does grow, and he's a master grower. All you need to do is spend some time out in a garden somewhere, or just you know, come and examine while you're having your teas and coffees my banana plant. I assure you, it grows. But here's the other thing I want us to see about the banana plant. Not just that growth is the work of the Lord, but secondly, that growth adds to the body. Growth adds to the body. Now here, if I came and told you, my banana plant is amazing. It's growing over here. And then, remarkably, this one little bit of it happens to be over here. And it's got no intention of joining with that bit, but it just happens to be growing over here. You'd say, nah, don't believe a word of that. Because actually, you and I know, and maybe more vivid with our children, but if a child in the church suddenly started growing a finger a million, you know, the other side of the house from where you just think, that's rubbish, that doesn't happen. We know it doesn't happen like that. Growth adds to what is there. Isn't that right? Not in my head, it's logical. That's right. Growth adds to what's there. So in the same way, the bits that grow from the banana plant add to the various bits that are there. And so in the same way, when God's growing his church, he adds to their number. He adds to them. There weren't this kind of misnomer that we somehow have found ourselves in the 21st century, where there's people who say they're Christians but aren't part of the church. That wasn't there in the early church. There weren't Christians who were not part of the church. People were added to the church. Now, I'm not just saying that everyone should be added to Holland Road. No, actually, one of the ways that God sometimes grows things is by scattering people. We'll see that if you've been reading through Acts. You've seen that by sending out missionaries. But always, they get established, or they establish churches. Because we're not meant to be Lone Ranger Christians. That's like saying that, well, I can cut off a bit of my body and just leave it over there and it will do fine, thank you very much. No, it won't. It will wither and die. And maybe even you're here tonight and you know that you tend to wither spiritually and die when you're not connected to the body. Or maybe you know others and you know they're withering and dying. Well, don't be afraid to, in the kind of, with the courage of this verse, kind of go and encourage them, say, get back connected, get to a group, get back on, you know, to a body of believers, back to the church, the body of Christ. And know that actually if we're God's going to be growing, he grows in that way, in a connected way. So growth is the, firstly, the work of the Lord, and then growth adds to the body. That's right, growth adds to the body. So again, let's stay connected. And maybe if I just look out, let me encourage you, stay connected. Stay connected for your own growth. Stay connected. I find I need this church to grow. I know you do me good and help me to grow. And that's the one of the ways that the Lord's ordained it. We need one another. He's given us one another. As we grow, he will add to us and he'll add to other places. That's the way he works. It's wonderful to think of how he does that. So growth is the work of the Lord. Growth adds to the body. And then next, as you look down at Acts 21, growth is, what does it say? The Lord added to their number daily. Growth is daily. Growth is daily. The wonderful thing about this passage here is it raises our expectation of what God can do. God was adding to their number daily. I want to ask you, if you've got an expectation for God to be working around you daily, growing you, growing and working in that process that Philip was talking about daily in the lives of those around you. Because God is a God who's at work daily. This is the expectation we should have. Now, different things in different climates grow at different rates. So I was watching something about seasonal forests the other day. And the seasonal forests, you know, there's this big forest around the north of the world, so sort of near the North Pole, called the Taiga Forest. It's about a third of the world's trees. And they grow very, very slowly. It's all in the kind of northern hemisphere, scans all the way around Canada and Russia and all that area. But they grow very, very slowly. But it's a massive forest, absolutely massive, little coniferous trees. But they're growing. They grow every day. But they grow slowly. And then you get tropical rainforests where things have the kind of conditions such that they grow very, very fast. In an amazing kind of way. But both are growing daily. Look at my banana plant again. Here we go. We're learning from both scripture and the banana plant today. So very, Jesus said, you know, look at the trees, consider the lilies. My banana plant, does that grow weekly or daily? Daily. It's growing all the time. I might only see the change weekly, but it's growing daily. It's growing all the time. It's growing as you watch it right now. God is always at work around you. He's always at work around you. He's always wants to be at work in your life. If you'll let him. Let him and have an expectation for him to work daily. The thing about this passage is it doesn't just raise my expectations of what he can do, because I believe he can add to our number daily those who are being saved. I believe he can remarkably work around us in incredible ways. We're not seeing that yet, but I believe that he could. That's what I've seen him do here in scripture. That's what I know he's doing around the world, and I want us to raise our expectation. Or a bit like, you know, when you watch Jamie Oliver cooking. Do you ever watch Jamie Oliver cooking? I sometimes kind of catch leaf bits, so I can't kind of quite bring myself to watch a whole program because I get too hungry. I get hungry anyway, just, you know, generally, after preaching and things like that. We're together on that after the end of Sunday evening, Sean. But there's something about when you watch something like, you know, food being cooked, that you build up an appetite, don't you? Do you find that? You get an appetite for it. And there's something about reading Acts 2 that I think should make us hungry for this kind of thing. Should give us an appetite to see God doing this kind of thing in our day. Because God is certainly able to do it. God is certainly able to do it, and it should raise our expectation and give us an appetite that God can work daily around you. You know, daily is a key part of this passage. You want to look with me and see other references you can get, see to kind of every day or daily in this passage. Just have a look there with me. See anywhere else in these few short verses where it talks about that? Shout out, anyone? Verse 46, every day they continue to meet together. It's actually the very same word, every day, daily. Every day they continue to meet together. There's a dailiness about the early church's walk with God. A dailiness in their expectation of what God's going to do. And I want to encourage you and ask, Is your Christian life a weekly thing? Because it shouldn't be. The Christian life is a daily thing. It's a daily walk and expectation of seeing God work in you and around you. I'd encourage you, read in Fellowship Philip's article about sharing the gospel at work. And he talks about when he was at Cadbury's. And as I was reading it, I was remembering times when I worked at an engineering firm over in Shoreham. And I remember as I used to walk in, I got into the habit of saying, "Good morning, Lord," as I came in through the kind of gate of the office. And because I knew that God was already there doing things that day. And I wanted to see what he was up to at my workplace. God is always at work around you. Look daily for what he's doing. Daily meet with him. Meet with others if you get a chance. Why not try every day this week to have contact with some other believer, whether it's by the phone or meeting them up for coffee or giving them a bell or just even over email. Daily say, right, I want to connect with brothers and sisters in Christ so that will remind me that my walk with him is daily. And keep reading through Acts, that daily reminder there of what God's going to do. So expectation, let's let God raise our expectation, because remember, the banana tree is growing daily and the church is growing daily, always at work. Isn't that exciting? Monday, the 2nd of June, 2008, never been before ever. You've never had. No one's ever had. What's God going to be doing in your life tomorrow? What might God do in and through your life tomorrow? Do you expect him to? I hope after tonight you will. Expect that 2nd of June 2008, God's going to work in and through you and grow those around you. And then the 3rd of June as well, and the days after that, daily expectation. Okay, lastly then, as we come to the end of Acts chapter 2 and the end of this verse, the Lord added to their number daily, so growth is the work of the Lord. Growth is daily. And then fourthly, growth is through transformation or through salvation. It's this wonderful phrase that we see at the end of Acts chapter 2. Daily, those who were being saved. God was in the saving business, in the transforming people, transforming them from those who were far from God to those who were children of God. God does this saving business, this wonderful transforming business. And I was thinking about my banana tree again then as I read that. And thinking, well, how does the banana tree grow? Do you know how things grow? Cast your mind back to biology when you were 12. What's that word beginning with P? Ah, photosynthesis. Photosynthesis. Yeah, what was all that about? Do you remember photosynthesis? What does God use to grow things? Oh, what does he do? There's a change. There's two sides of an equation. Do you remember that? Two sides. Oh, C6. There was lots of C's and O's and H's and things like that. There was water somewhere in there. You've got to give it water. So there's water and there's carbon dioxide. Isn't that wonderful? How God, the thing we don't want, the plants like, and they take and they give out what we do want, oxygen. Absolutely amazing. And so the plants take in this kind of water and oxygen and they need something else. What else do they get? Sunlight. They get in sunlight and there's this thing called photosynthesis and it changes all that, transforms it, boom, from those things that, you know, we don't want carbon dioxide and the sunlight is just there in abundance and boom. It becomes starch, this provider of energy that that is used then to grow the plant, and oxygen. And it's transformed, changed. And that's how God grows the church, by taking what is a mess, taking what is absolute rubbish, taking, as Paul would describe kind of himself, the most miserable of sinners, taking people who are all around Brighton and Hove, all around the nation, all around the world, people whose lives are kind of, you think, well, you know, how could God do anything with that person or that, you know, young person or this, you know, grumpy person or this, whatever. How could God work through them? And God takes them and he saves them. He transforms them. He renews them. He causes those things that are not to be those things that are. He takes them from death to life. That's the salvation process. And it's a process, because in the Bible it talks about us. We have been saved, past tense. We are being saved, present tense. And it even says we one day when we get to heaven, we will be saved. So what's all that about? Well, it's that God saves us, and he does it in a process. I like to think of it a bit like this. It's like, I think I might have used this illustration before. In fact, I love to use it, so you'll have to excuse me. But it's sometimes helpful to get these things in our mind. It's a bit like if Adam was drowning. Now, this Adam Clayton here, give us a wave. He's not that athletic and struggles swimming. So if he was in the water, he probably would be drowning. And if I saw that, I'd want to kind of dive in and help you. But I'm kind of not that strong a swimmer. I like swimming, but, you know, actually it probably needs someone like Tim who could dive in there and do a fantastic job. And he'd grab Adam and probably dunk him underwater a few times just to make sure he remembered it. But then what he'd do is once he grabbed Adam, Adam would be safe. And if people like us were watching on the riverbank, we'd shout at that moment, we'd say, he's saved! Past tense. Why? Because Tim, strong swimmer Tim's got his hands on Adam, who's drowning. And that's what Jesus has done. He's come. And at that moment when we believe in him, when we say, I want to trust in you, it's as if Jesus gets his hand on us and saves us. And everyone who's watching in heaven says, he's saved. Jesus, the mighty rescuer, has come and got his hands on us, and we're guaranteed salvation. He's got us. But that person, Adam, or me, or you, or as we're drowning, floundering, as Jesus gets a hold of our lives, we're still wet, we're still soaking, we might still be taken on water. This is not hard, we're not yet there, the bank's a mile away. And Jesus then, or in this case Tim, does the business of getting and dragging Adam to the shore. And so someone who's late, like Ben at the back, rushes to the scene and says, what's going on? And Sean turns to Ben and says, Adam's being saved. He's in the process of being saved. Not because Tim's going to let go of him or anything like that, or it's in doubt in any way, but because there's still this process of coming to the bank. But then someone else arrives on the scene. It's Maria who rushes over and says, what's going on? And Jenny turns to Maria and says, oh, soon Adam will be saved. And what she means is that Adam's not yet on the bank, but soon he will be on the bank, and then he'll be no wet, and just change clothes, and it'll be wonderful, and he'll be dry, and he'll be out of all that horrible murky water. And all of them are true. You see, when Jesus gets his hand on us, we have been saved, but there's still this process of him taking us to heaven. We're in the process of being saved. And we continue to say one day we will be saved when we get there. We'll be free from this life of sin and this messy world we're in. And Jesus is in the business of saving. And so too here in Acts, as it talks about the process, it says, added to their number daily those who were being saved, because you cannot be part of the church proper. You can come into the building, we welcome you. You can come into what God's doing, but you cannot be part of the church proper. The church of Jesus Christ, his body, unless Jesus has transformed you. Unless you've had him come and get his hands on your life, as it were, and rescue you. Unless you've asked him to do that. If you're still batting him off, hey, you can't. You're not identified with him. You're not safe. That's where we get the word safe from. It's linked to saved. So I ask you, are you safe? Have you been saved? Has Jesus rescued you? Has Jesus rescued you? Has he brought you and added you in? Has he then, as he does that, you see, he transforms us. It's like photosynthesis. He takes our miserable lives and the messes that we have and the struggles and the addictions, and slowly he transforms us. Like how the water that I pour in here at the bottom, I do it in a nice little plate, Adam, you'd be proud of me. And as we pour in the water there, God then takes it and transforms it so it becomes a leaf. That's the growing part he does. I couldn't do that. And God can take your life and transform it, saving you to make you fit for heaven as you become part of his body, the church. Precious to him. So precious that he gave his life for it. He will protect it. He will grow it. He will see it safely to heaven. God loves his church, and he is growing it. And he's growing it. It's his work. He grows by adding it to the body. He grows it daily, and he grows it through transformation, through salvation. We've got a verse up here on the screen which describes that wonderful tension of how we're in this process with him, and it's Hebrews 10:14. Do we have it up on the screen? I don't think I gave you this, Maria. No, Hebrews 10:14. I just was this was a late edition, this one. Hebrews 10:14. And let me just read it to you. If you've got it and know where it is, turn there, but don't worry if you don't. It's a verse that the writer of the Hebrews says this. He says, because by one sacrifice, we saw that there, Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, because by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever. Past tense. But then it says, those who are being saved. Present tense. Continuous. He has made perfect forever those who are being saved. Jesus, by that one sacrifice, if you believe in him, he has made you perfect forever. Transformed you to be part of his body, his church. But then he still cares and tenders and looks after, and you're still in the process of being made to be more like Jesus. So, as I've been preparing this, it's raised my expectation. I've thought, God, I want to see this church. I want to see the church in the UK grow more than it's doing. And it's made me ask this question. It's made me ask, Lord, what's stopping us? What are the things that are maybe holding us back? Because you can grow us, Lord. So made me ask, are we planting? Are we watering? So made me ask, are there things that are bringing kind of like, almost if you imagine, if we drew these curtains around here, my banana plant wouldn't grow. Are there things that we've kind of brought across the sunlight of God's rays in our lives so that actually we're stopping him from bringing that growth in our lives? It's made me just check. I think it's a good question to sometimes ask, is it I, Lord? Maybe you need to do that even right now. Lord, is it I? Are there things in me, in you, which would be hindering the growth that God wants us to do? Because he can grow. He is growing. But sometimes things can get in the way of that. So I want us now, and we've had a chance to reflect, just have a moment quiet and just ask him, beg God, beg him and say, God, please grow your church, grow me. Tell him that you want to grow tomorrow, that you want to grow in these days ahead. And then do some examining. Just say, God, now show me, what are the things that are stopping me growing? Where do I need to get more food? Where do I need to, let your light and the light of your glory kind of shine on me more? God, what ways things in my life are stopping me from growing? Just have a moment of reflection. I'm going to ask in that time. The band could just come up as well. And just in this moment of quiet, let's do... let God do some soul searching. Got just a word. God's not finished with you yet. There's some here, and you think maybe you've grown enough. Well, let me assure you, there's more growth he wants to do in you and through you. God's not finished with us as a church yet. There's more growing he wants to do in us and through us. Do you have an appetite for it? Will you just raise your hand if you want to grow? Just every head bowed, just raise your hand if you want to grow. Lord, you see these hands. People who want to grow in their walk with you. Well, God knows how to grow you. Just put your hands back down. And the song we sung before the message was talked about surrender. So put your hands out in front of you and just surrender anything that would hinder your growing, your spiritual growth, the growth of others through you as you plant and water. There's nothing more important than that. So just surrender those sins, those wrongdoings, those fears, busyness. Say, Lord, I surrender these things because I want to grow. So, Jesus, you see every heart, and we ask you, we beseech you, Lord, grow us and add to us, Lord, those who are being saved, even daily, Lord. Give us opportunities tomorrow and the next day and the next day, and may you open the floodgates of heaven such as we have never even begun to imagine. Because you are the mighty God and you are growing your church. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.